Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Momita, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call for Clean Science and Technology. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephones. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Momita, and hi, good afternoon, everyone. Good morning, everyone. We are pleased to host Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call for Clean Science and Technology Limited. The call, as usual, will be initiated with a brief management discussion on the Q4 and full year performance, followed by an interactive Q&A session. Management team will be represented by Mr. Siddharth Sikchi, Promoter and Executive Director, and Mr. Pratik Bora, Chief Financial Officer. A gentle reminder, today's discussion may contain certain forward-looking statements and opinions with respect to the anticipated future performance of the company. Such forward-looking statements involve a number of known and unknown risks, uncertainties and assumptions which could cause actual results or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements. With this disclaimer, I'll hand it over to Siddharth for his opening remarks. Over to you, Siddharth.
Thank you, Momita. Thank you, Ankur. Good morning, everyone from Clean Science and Technology. Hope everybody is doing well, and I am happy to connect with you all again to discuss the performance of our company for the last quarter and FY 2022. We have completed our first financial year after getting listed, which was in July last year, and the company has given strong performance, and we have recorded highest ever revenue, EBITDA and PAT for a financial year. Let me speak a little bit on the business environment. The current global macro environment continues to be challenging both on the geopolitical front and persistent inflation environment. Throughout the year, we have seen prices of key starting materials or raw materials remained extremely volatile, and prices have increased drastically over the last financial year. To give you an instance, phenol is a very key starting material for us at Clean Science, and which contributes 50% of our total raw material cost. The cost or the price of phenol from last financial year has doubled in this year. Of course, there has been increase in energy and fuel cost, high international freight rates, and supply chain constraints were some of the other challenges which we witnessed during this financial year. Nevertheless, we continue to work closely with our customers and with regular discussions for navigating through the current environment and increasing business opportunities. Despite the various headwinds, we are happy that all our geographies and segments did grow on a very healthy background, and we were able to increase new customers, increase wallet share with the existing customers, and we have launched some of the new products. On financial highlights, the total revenue for this financial year, we closed at 685 crore, which increased 34% over the last financial year. We've had strong growth in export revenues and domestic. So export grew by 38%, domestic grew by 24%, and the revenue mix remains at 70-30, 70% export, 30% domestic. EBITDA increased to 300 crore as against 259 crore, so which is a 16% year-on-year growth. Profit before tax, PBT, was at 305 crore and PAT at 229 crore, which grew 14 and 15% respectively compared to the last financial year. This year, the company did highest capex of about 140 odd crore, and our balance sheet continues to be debt free with a free cash of approximately 250 odd crores. For this financial year, the ROCE has remained at 52% and return on equity at 30%. A little bit on sales profile. Sales improvement was led by combination of robust volume growth and improved realization across all segments. Performance chemicals remains as our key growth driver, and it contributes 70% of our revenue. New products which have been introduced in this segment have started contributing and gradually start ramping up in the coming quarters. Price hike have undertaken helped us improve our realization across all products. A little bit on CAPEX. In FY22, we did a CAPEX of about 140 crores, which was the highest ever CAPEX in the history of Clean Science. Majority CAPEX was undertaken at our upcoming Unit 3, where we commissioned two plants. One is PBQ and TBHQ, which are newer products for us. We doubled our anisole capacity, existing product, increased BHA capacity by 50%. In this, we have also increased capacities of MEHQ and guaiacol by 50%. And the plant has commissioned 2 months ago, that is in April. We are also in the process of doubling our PBQ capacity, which should happen in second half FY23. Construction work for our new two plants, which is on track in Unit 3, which is for HALS Series 701-770, and this we aim to commercialize in H2 FY23. About new subsidiary, to take advantage of fiscal benefits within the stipulated time frame, company incorporated a new wholly owned subsidiary under the name of Clean Finochem Limited. The greenfield CAPEX on recently acquired 34-acre land parcel will be undertaken through this subsidiary. Majority of our new CAPEX after the Unit 3 will happen largely at this new subsidiary. Let me highlight on ESG. So sustainability is deeply ingrained in Clean Science and technology and our long-term strategy for sustainable growth. We have implemented several sustainability initiatives that have helped in minimizing environment impact of our operations. Since inception, the company has been investing in renewable energy in a significant way, with a particular focus on solar power. As a result of our endeavors over the past few years, approximately 55% of our electrical energy consumption is from renewable sources. We have reduced water consumption by almost 35% and green gas emissions by almost 19% over the past 3 years. We are very proud to inform that we are the first specialty chemical company in the country to be given the Green Co certification. This rating is a clear validation of our company's emphasis on clean, green, and sustainable practices and manufacturing processes. We actively contribute to social and economic development of the communities. Our total contribution towards CSR is approximately 11 crores over the last 3 years. Our focus has been on education, healthcare, and afforestation. We continue to follow industry best corporate governance practices. More than one-third of our board members are independent. Our long-term rating by CRISIL was upgraded to A+ positive, and short-term rating continues to be at A1+. So with this, I would like to hand over to Axis team for Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. So our first question from Mr. Harsh from LTMF. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, gentlemen, and congratulations for a very strong financial year 22. So my first question is regarding your growth for the full year of around 35%. Can you just break that down into how much of that was volume and how much of that was value driven?
Yeah. Hi, Harsh. Pratik this side. Thank you for your question. So, Harsh, we don't share typically volume and value-wise number, but just to give you a instance that majority of the growth has come from volume. So, for BHA, which is the most margin-accretive product in our portfolio, we have witnessed around 50% volume growth and around small 7 to 8% as realization growth.
Okay. Understood. And how has been the overall environment like for the industry and then specifically for the clean science in terms of passing on all the incremental costs that has been taken over?
See, there are two ways to look at it. So one is, see, the specialty chemical space is a very interesting space that where raw material prices, when they hike up too much, we do not like to pass everything to the customer. With that, we are able to regain confidence of our customers in us. Rather, in these environment, we would rather love to increase our wallet share with our existing and add newer customer to the basket. The result of this is why we are doubling or we have increased our capacities of BHA by 50%. We have increased our capacities of MEHQ and guaiacol by 50%. And the whole scenario is that we are passing some price difference to the customer and we are trying to regain and increase our wallet share with the same customers so that over the next few years, we are able to garner a better market share compared to our competitors.
Understood. And you just spoke about client addition. So for the full year of FY22, how was overall client addition versus last year?
So we first added two new products. One is PBQ, which is called parabenzoquinone, and another is called PBHQ. So we've added new, so this is absolutely new products in our portfolio. So we've added some clients in these products. And of course, in product like BHA, we have added some new customers in Latin America. In MEHQ, we've added some customers in South Korea. We've added some customers in United States. So there has been a decent increase of our customers, some of the large-scale customers who were buying minority stake from us or minority purchases from us have now moved to a majority purchase from us in this coming financial year.
Understood. Just last two questions from my side. So it closed this year in Q4 with an EBITDA margin of 41%. First is on this new capacities that we are adding of new as well as existing products, excluding HALS. How do you expect your EBITDA margins to, you know, go from there? And if I remember for HALS, our aim is to garner around 10% of market share in next 4-5 years after commercialization. So how that also will be driving towards the margin?
So I will try and, I mean, I will not be able to give a lot of forward-looking statements, but I'll try and satisfy your question. So in our existing businesses like the BHAs and MEHQ and guaiacol, similar margins should be, we should be able to get similar margins. And by adding newer customers, and of course, as we have added significant volumes, this should definitely result in absolute increase in our revenues and absolute number increase in our profitability. Now, when we come to the newer products, in this, always there is a little gestation because we are trying to understand the process is still undergoing yield increasement. You know, there is still efficiency which has to be improved. And plus, whenever you are trying to garner new customers, you have to give some discount compared to their existing current buy, I mean, whoever they are buying from. So due to that, the margins would be a little low in the new products. But we are very confident that over the period of few years when we have a decent market share, when our plants have stabilized, when we have perfect yield and efficiency, what we are looking at, the margins should increase. Coming back to HALS, yes, I mean, of course, two of the plants which we are anticipating for product 701-770 should begin by second half this financial year. And unit 4 will, the newer unit will will house the entire HALS segment. We will be the first Indian company to start these production in India. Of course, with this whole COVID thing, China plus one strategy, we really anticipate that these would be the next growth driver for clean science and technology. Thank you.
Understood. That was very helpful. Thank you. And just last one thing on data keeping. Either you can give it now or you can give it on a separate disclosure, that is fine. But we used to earlier give the breakup of product-wise and performance, pharma and FMCG in terms of API, glycol, DCC, etc. If you can just share that either now or later in a separate disclosure, that will be helpful. That is just to get an understanding as to where the growth has been mainly derived from.
Sure, we can do that. Thank you.
Understood. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Siddharth and team, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question from Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. A few from my side. First, on this new category addition, that is PBQ and TBHQ, what will be the initial response? We said that it has done very well, so I think the response has been good. So what is that opportunity in these products? Because one of the co-products, which is MEHQ, we already are a global peer. So is that giving some advantage in initial push-up, or do we really have some kind of an advantage in those products, either through a process manufacturing or through a market placement or partnership that we are looking to have in this product, which will give us a push for that in FY23?
Thank you, Sanjesh. So let me answer your question. So you know, as a company, when we look at products, we also try and always look at products where India, there is no manufacturer, and where the country is dependent on China. So PBQ is one of such products. We have anticipated, currently PBQ is imported close to 1,200 ton per annum in India. The product price is approximately $30, and typically it is majorly imported from China, and it goes into agrochemicals. Now, this we are the first Indian company to start PBQ manufacturing in India. What advantages we have is, of course, it is one stage oxidation reaction, but the quality of the product, the color of the product is significantly important, which I think no other Indian company has been able to get so far. So we are the first company, because of our interesting technology, we have been able to get the right stability and the right parameter for the color. One. Two, our first initial investment was about 30 to 40 tons per month, which fortunately we are sold out, and now we are doubling the capacities to about 80, 90 tons per month. With this, we hope that we would be able to cater to the Indian requirement. That is second. Third, you know, we have got some new customers in agro space. And when you deal with a new, agro is a very upcoming field. I think it is also growing significantly, and we need, with the new customer which we have got in PBQ, we are trying to discuss with them newer product opportunities where we can grow in agro space as well. So these are some of the advantages we look at. The second product which you mentioned, TBHQ, it is already manufactured by some Indian company. However, our focus to remain and become strong in stabilizer business, we already have MEHQ, we have ascorbyl palmitate, we have BHA with addition of TBHQ, that will be another stabilizer, and the entire HAL series again is a performance chemical or stabilizer. So we want to grow our portfolio in these performance chemical business, because now we understand the business and we like this space. So we are looking at this space in totality. So these are the reasons why these two products have been introduced.
That's very clear. Just one clarification, PBQ then goes into the pharma intermediate segment, right? Not into the performance chemical.
No, PBQ goes into agro.
No, from our segmental reporting perspective.
We will put it as a specialty chemical, it goes into pharma and agro intermediate.
Yeah, pharma and agro intermediate, right?
So, right.
And that is the reason why we have seen such a strong growth in that segment on a YOY basis.
Right.
But again, if I look at sequentially, that particular line segment has come down, and we have mentioned that DCC has also done good. So what are we missing? Is Guaiacol did not do so well in this quarter?
Sorry, Sanjesh, your question, if I may rephrase, you're asking that in performance in pharma segment, why is there a sequential degrowth?
Correct. Despite a very strong PBQ delivery.
No. So, I mean, DCC has gone up. There has been a slight degrowth in Guaiacol.
Okay. And Guaiacol there is
Because Q3 was exceptionally good for us. So that was a very high base, Q3. But if you look on year-on-year basis, there we have seen a good.
No, that's fair. That's the understanding I wanted.
Yeah.
Just on the MEHQ, now with the 50% utilization, and I also know that we have increased DHA by 50%, so you will require as a feedstock. So MEHQ as a segment, how should we grow X of the feedstock for FY23-24? And considering that we already have a significant market share, it is fair to assume that a 10-12% can still be done in terms of a volume growth in that segment?
It should happen. See, Sangesh, whom are we competing with? MEHQ is, per se, today we are competing with Solvay. MEHQ, right. They produce using hydroquinone, which prices have currently almost doubled to around $12, whereas MEHQ is still hovering around $10 to $11. So with this, the focus of our competitor is to sell more of hydroquinone in the market rather than getting into MEHQ. And this has opened gates for us to get into some of the accounts which we were really lacking into. To give you an example, BASF, for the last 10 years we have been trying to get into BASF, and we have always been getting the minority portion of their MEHQ purchases. However, this is the first year where we have got 70% of their global demand, and we have got their contract for 3 years. So all this has played very well in our favor, and we want to take this opportunity to gain our market share and to get confidence of our customers and increase our market share.
Great. But HQ going up is not so good news for us from the TB HQ perspective, right?
But all our competitors also buy HQ and make TBHQ, right?
Right.
So
we are on the level footing in TBHQ, but we are on a upper footing on a MEHQ, which is a much larger product.
As well as BHA, because all my BHA customers today also need TBHQ. Okay?
Correct.
So, and plus, ascorbyl palmitate is also another product for us. So we were lagging in this product, and again it is a performance, specialty, stabilizer, which we did not have in our product portfolio. So with this, you know, we are trying to grow our performance chemical, and again getting into health will further support us and increase our product basket in this performance chemical segment.
Just one last question before I get back into the queue. On the PBQ side, we talked about import substitution and an agrochemical company addition where we are also trying to increase the basket. Again, it is mostly India, right? It's not an export product as of now for us, right?
See, today India is in itself buying 1,200 ton per annum.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine $30 is the product, dollar is at 77, import duty is at 8%.
Mm.
So it makes a lot of sense for us to first cater to Indian markets. It's not that we have exported smaller volumes to Europe, but India would be our prima facie focus in this product. Because these agro intermediates which are made, India is a prominent player.
Got it. Just one bookkeeping question. We said that 55% of the power consumption in the plant comes from the renewable resources.
Right.
Well, then what is the reason for our other expenses jumping so sharply on a quarter-on-quarter? Because I thought it should be predominantly because of the power cost. Now,
yeah.
That comment made me think that again.
So, Sanjay, just to clarify, power and fuel cost comprises of two components. One is electricity, where we made that comment that 55% of our electricity is serviced by renewable energy. And the other is the coal cost, which comprises around 70% of power and fuel cost. In case of coal, we have seen the price increase by 77%. So that has led to power and fuel cost increasing by around, 106% on year-on-year basis.
So that's mathematical, Got it. No, I understood. Very clear. Thanks, Siddha. Thanks for answering all my questions.
And
for the coming quarters.
Question comes from Mr. Drujit from Birla Sun Life. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Hello. Hi, sir. This is Sujit from Birla Sun Life Insurance. Sir,
Sir,
thanks for taking my question. The first would be on the cost side. Sir, as you mentioned that phenol is now 50% of your cost. So this,
can you be a little louder? It's too, I mean, too soft.
Am I audible now? Hello.
Yeah, a little louder would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, I'll try my best. My first question was on the cost side. Sir, as you mentioned that phenol is now 50% of your cost basket. So is it like, say for example, 35% is your COGS right now? Out of the 17-18% would be phenol. Is it a right assumption? It used to be 50% and now it is higher.
No, I think your first assumption is right.
Okay. Okay, so I just wanted to ask, how have we seen the inflation in the balance 50% portfolio on the cost side? How is the inflation, say, when you compare FY22 versus FY21?
See, for instance, we buy, all our chemicals are mostly commodity chemicals.
Right.
Say, methanol, tertiary butyl alcohol, acetic anhydride, and of course, coal. All prices, for instance, if I have to give you methanol, which is a very, very simple commodity chemical, the prices over the last financial year, when I say it is an average price, has grown about 50-odd%. Tertiary butanol, which we import from China, has increased about 70%. Acetic anhydride, where acetic acid is the starting material, has grown about 152-odd%.
Right.
So there has been a large, I'm sure if you track chemicals, you understand that there has been a huge increase in raw material prices of all the basic chemicals, and of course that is the reason why further downstream products have seen the increase in prices.
Right. Sir, and secondly on this, while you explained it well that the price hikes will become more gradual because you don't want to lose your relationship with the last customers in the supply buyer side. Sir, but do we expect to pass on this entire cost or we expect the prices to normalize, wait for what happens with the commodity and probably then take a call? What's the strategy going forward?
See, now we have customers ranging from quarterly orders to half yearly to annual contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so depending on the needs of the customer, depending on their location of the customers, there are several factors which come into play when we decide on increase of our prices, which we have done over the past few quarters. That is why our raw material cost is still about 35-odd%. Even in quarter three, if you see, our raw material price has been 35%. So with this view, we are able to pass on the price where we feel there is a real difficulty, where there are customers who are not able to pass on prices to their end customers. To give you an example, say a cosmetic cream where a UV blocker is introduced using our product. Now, if you go to the market, these prices do not increase every quarter on quarter basis. So these are some of the special times when we need to, help our customer, be supportive of them, pass marginal price increase so that they also remain in the business and this entire chain continues. Because all of us know that this is a very special situation. This particular year, because of these geopolitical tension, has been a very special year. So we don't want that our particular segment completely dries off because of a little price increase. And fortunately for us, we have a very healthy margins in our business. So we would like to, to help our customer in these times so that when the times reverse, they will always remember these times and we increase and have a better business coordination with our customers.
Sure. Fair enough. So, my second question would be, as you explained that your sensitivity to phenol will obviously be the lowest versus competitors. So, our MEHQ market share, how has it moved in, say, last 3-4 quarters? Because here, the price increase which they would require would be much higher. The margin of safety which they have is much lower. So, have we gained, like, significant market share in MEHQ from our current high number?
Yeah, I can only tell you one thing, Sujit. We have added 50% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you will see that we are mostly sold out in that.
Oh. That's a huge.
So the plants which we had envisaged we will keep, you know, we will take about a year or 2 years to gain the market share. But because of the last year and the way we have been with our customer, the plant is, you know, running at full capacities and are completely sold out.
Okay.
So I hope that gives you a clear answer.
And so just one small question on the health. Sir, do we have some duty protection benefit versus the current place? Is there any import duty on health currently in India?
For a product like 770, where India imports close to 3,000 ton per annum, the duty is about 7.5-8%.
Okay.
And of course, with all these international glitches of shipments, you know, and all these problems, I think a local player would be very, very helpful to these master batches guys. And I think, and I'm very confident, and our capacities are going to be closer to 1,500, 2,000 ton. So I'm very confident that you'll be able to garner or get this Indian market very, very rapidly.
Right. And this kind of duty benefits will be there for the other line of products which are expected to launch in future.
Some of these products are not imported by India too. Some of the products are expensive products which are in specialized polymers where US, Europe are predominantly very large. So in these products, of course, the duty benefit will not help. However, those are also the products where the current producers are also very minimal.
Right.
So being in India, those location factors, our cost of production versus our competitors, say a BSF, I think these parameters will help us when we get into those range of products.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That is from my side. If I
thank you so
again.
Much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So our next question from Mr. Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you. So, Siddharth, you know, you did mention a pretty sharp hike across the key raw materials, you know, over the last year. And, you know, my presumption here is obviously, you know, the other competition is also facing similar price increase. And with our differentiated technology, we probably have an advantage here. So your comments on the overall competitive intensity, not only in India but globally, for the existing product range as well as the health part of it, while we have not launched our products yet, but where do you see yourself from a pricing point of view in the newer range of products that we plan to launch next year?
In health, the beauty part is, I mean, current producer, if I have to understand, a BSF is a global producer. I mean, they have the largest market share. Energy prices in Europe have dramatically gone up because of this Russia-Ukraine issues. And they have announced few times already price increase in entire health segment. Okay? I can understand the energy prices have gone up for us also, but not to the extent as it has gone up for a European producer or an American producer. So this delta will definitely be of very big importance to us. Of course, there were a lot of rumors also in the market that, you know, Germany or Europe in particular will have a lot of industrial shutdown to first cater to the residential needs of energy. With this, the big customers of the game would definitely want to have de-risking and having, if they have a source also in India for this health segment, I'm sure they would be more than happy to qualify us and make us, you know, one of their vendor for this health segment.
Okay, sure. Sure. And so on the existing portfolio, what will be the price differential, let's say, our products versus competition who would have probably taken much higher price hikes versus us?
I'll tell you, the beauty in this segment is that today, because we are 70% of the market share, or maybe 60, 65, 70% of the market share. Today, our prices is what determines the market prices. So if I have kept a price of, say, $10 or $11, even if my competitor is not able to keep $15 because it won't work. So they have to either be closer to mine or they lose that customer. And this is a well-thought strategy we have kept, because with our new capacities which have added, I mean, just 2 months ago, we wanted to get those market share rather than pushing too much on pricing. And also with increasing prices, I mean, for other commodity chemicals, if you have seen, lot of players either in India or in China have started re-looking at these products. Like we have Make in India, Chinese, I'm sure, would also have Make in China. So we don't want to encourage any of these things, because China also is a very important market for us. In our entire revenues, 40% of our revenues come from China. Not from one product, through all products. And these are the times when we don't want a newer entrant in this business. So our prices are in a range where we are still making decent money, and where we see our competitor would not be able to make substantial margins. So we hope to get more market share in this environment.
Sure, sure. That's pretty clear. Thank you. And just lastly, on the working capital side, we had seen a slightly sharp reduction last year, FY21, while this time there is an increase. Is it largely because of, you know, higher Q4 sales here, or, you know, what could be a sustainable number?
Right, Uncle. So the first reason you rightly pointed out, receivable days have gone up. That's because of the higher Q4 sales and also because of the sales mix, higher export sales. These are the primarily two reasons leading to increase in receivable days. But on net working capital, it's almost similar. 56 days last year versus 59 days this year.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Pratik. Thank you for that. Bye.
Thanks, Ankur.
Thank you, sir. So we have the next question from Mr. Rishan Tiarwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, Siddharth ji and Pratik ji. Congrats on good set of numbers despite challenging environment. Three questions from my side, small ones. So the first is, you know, on given our focus is on the, I mean, going forward, how is our R&D shaping up in the aniline chain?
R&D shaping very well. I think we are getting into very, very interesting chemistries. I think it is not aniline-based, it is acetone-based. So, HALS comes under acetone-based products, if that is the question you are asking. So, yes, I mean, acetone-based derivatives we are working on, of course, other than HALS, also some interesting products. And the R&D is shaping up extremely well. Today, we have about 50-odd people with 7 scientists, and we have 3 R&D separate divisions. So, we are very, very... you know, very confident of coming up with better and newer products in the next financial year.
I understand on the HALS, is it acetone derivatives? I was more asking about from the, like, you know, coming up with, let's say, PZ or diphenylamine, if that is that you are working on. So that's was like, this starts from the aniline, right? So that's what I was probably asking to.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yes, that is very interesting. Of course, we were working on aniline and diphenylamine-based products, and, of course, leading to phenothiazine. There are certain issues in phenothiazine, is that it is a particular prill form which sells in the market, because it is a sulfur-based derivative and nobody wants to use powder or flaky product. We were able to make the powder, but we were not successful in making a prill form. However, we are still working on it and trying to see if there is any way where we can try and attain the prill form. The day we are able to make a reasonable size prill form, that is the point when we can consider getting into aniline to DPA and DPA to phenothiazine, because that is also a stabilizer or an additive which we would really want to add in our product portfolio.
Okay, great, sir. That was what I was looking for. The second question is On the the backward integration. So I'll not go into the product by product. I'll just ask any plans to further backward integrate for any of our RM to complete the phenol chain. If you kind of know what I'm hinting for.
Yeah, I understand your question. So it is a little premature to say. Of course, we think on those lines as you are thinking. But we have to see with newer capacities coming across geographies, how those are going to shape up will also decide our steps, what step we should take. We don't want to overcrowd the market with newer capacities which we think might come up either in India or in China.
Understood, sir. And the final question, sir, just on the health, can we face, let's say, competition from China or no?
There is producers in China, but I think, see, for every product, there is a competitor in China. When we started, even MEHQ was in China, Guaicol was in China, Formap was in China. All our products, PBQ today, which we manufacture, DCC, which we manufacture, everything comes from China. So there is a competition in China as well as in Europe. However, the advantage, and we have learned how to compete against China throughout the last 15 years. And I am quite comfortable in saying that because of these current geopolitical tension plus these 77 as a dollar rate and, of course, the import duty, these are some of the parameters which will be very helpful if a producer comes up in India.
Understood, sir. Understood. And that's it from me. Thanks for answering my questions. And best of luck.
Thank you,
sir. Our next question from Mr. Amar More from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next question from Mr. Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning and thank you. Just wanted to check, whether there's any margin outlook we can provide for, say, FY23, just given the input cost scenario and the fact that we are sort of focusing more on wallet share gains rather than on, margin protection at this point. So any rough outlook that you might be able to provide? Thanks.
These are forward-looking statements you would like to avoid. However, to be very honest with these geopolitical tensions, how these things are going to shape up. Even last year, I'm sure none of us would have anticipated where all this would lead to. So these are, these are very, very unforeseen situations, very, very special conditions. Of course, I can tell you the business looks robust for us. We are seeing volume growth across all our segments, but it is very difficult to predict for myself what will be the raw material prices going forward in the next 3 months. Will the world change? All of a sudden, all the raw materials will smoothen down, again come back to the normalcy, or there will be further more tensions going across the globe. More countries will become part of this Russia-Ukraine thing. Will the oil prices again further increase? There are so many parameters which today I'm sure even you and I cannot answer. So it is very difficult to predict in such special circumstances.
Okay, understood, sir. Although, if we take a slightly longer-term perspective, like say 3-5 years, once the new products are optimally ramped up for us, would we expect the margins to sort of return to the levels that they have been at in the in the previous year?
The previous year would be a very difficult year. See, those were really the COVID year where the prices of raw materials really went down dramatically, and those was also a very special situation. So I particularly feel, if you ask me, if you look at our numbers, leaving the FY21 numbers, if you look at our FY20 numbers, or if you look at our FY22 numbers, where you've seen our RMCs have been closer to 35%, I'm sure you would appreciate that compared to the FY20 was a very challenging year for entire chemical segment. I'm not talking about any other segment, but say per se in a chemical segment, despite of all those volatilities, despite of we ramping up our new capacities, we have delivered a 35% growth year on year and have been at an RMC of about 35% and a PBT of about 40%, which I think we are very happy to be at this level, even, I mean, in these circumstances. And I'm sure you will also appreciate it.
Sure, sure, understood. Yeah, thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you, sir. So we have a follow-up question from Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking my question again. I wanted to understand a little bit more on the MEHQ and the market share gain we are talking and the China angle in that. First, we are already at 65-70% market share, as you told earlier, and we have increased the capacity by 50%, which is booked again. We have advantage today because we are at a better cash, better costing, or a better manufacturing process. So we should gain a significant market share. That means from there onwards, the growth will be restricted to the industry growth, which is close to 3-4%. Is that understanding right? Number two,
let me answer one question at a time, Sanjayji. Typically, yeah, we don't like to answer on product-to-product basis. However, since you've asked this, I'll let me explain. So, boss, when any chemical company builds a facility, it is typically built for a 3-5 year horizon. Okay? Because when we anticipate that the growth will be, say, 5 or 7%, you know, the plant cannot be made every year looking at 5-7% gain. So when a facility is made by us, it is obviously looking at a 5-year horizon, number one. Number two, MEHQ has an internal consumption for us in BHA where it is a growing market for us. That is number two. And these are the two reasons why we feel that these capacities, I mean, that is the reason why we have added these capacities. And of course, because of our process and because, of course, we did not anticipate when we started the construction of this facility that the prices of the starting material, that is hydroquinone, will increase to $13. So that just happened by chance. But always the facility is built with a 5-year horizon on how the market scenarios will happen. And we want that there should not be shortages of our product because that leads to competition creeping in. So we would always want spare capacities to be there so that any of such event occurs when there is a shortage in the market, we are there to fill that gap. And because these events are never, they are never come with, you know, they are not announced prior. This is just by chance it happens and you should be there to grab that opportunity.
Got it.
Thanks.
No, I understood that some of the MHQ will go into the downstream for BHA. Now, because we are now 70-80% of BASF and we were already there on the other customers, and BASF being one of the large consumers, it is no doubt that our market share will significantly ramp up from where we were, say, at the FY22 level, right? That means we will become an industry as a whole in this particular segment, right? And hence, we can at best grow the industry rate. That was the simple understanding for me. Second, on the China to the MEHQ, is an increase in the cost for the Chinese manufacturer while we continue to hold on or with a very restricted price increase. Can China look at this product on the ADD side and impose, or is there any risk of putting an anti-dumping duty on the import from the Clean Science to the China? Do you foresee any of those kind of risks?
I will tell you, see, once if you have to, see, what is the basic principle of anti-dumping? The basic principle of anti-dumping is that I am selling at higher costs, say in Europe, US, South Korea, Japan, and I am selling at much lower price in China. This is the basic thumb rule of an anti-dumping. Okay? If you see my, the way we have, of course, we understand this problem. At if you see our pricing, at sometimes our prices in Germany or in Europe or in US are sometimes lower than the prices we offer in China. So this risk of anti-dumping will not come And it is because of our technology advantage that I am able to offer these prices. It is not that I am deliberately dumping my product into China. And we have a basic costing mechanism which any scientist would understand, that if I take anisole and we make MEHQ, there is a price which will be different than anybody making from hydroquinone route.
No, I have a similar situation in another chemical where India has put an anti-dumping on the Chinese import. While Chinese is manufacturing a different process, they had a cost advantage, yet India puts the anti-dumping to protect the domestic production. There is a case which say that if there is a potential differences at the companies have put historically ADD, at least I know one of those products where the situation happened. So my understanding on the ADD was that more to protect the domestic manufacturing, and none of the papers for the ADD have looked at where they have discussed in length about the manufacturing process of the company which they are evaluating. But that again on given on the things and what kind of replies do they get from the put up. But that risk could be there is whatever. So don't say much.
There is a lot of disturbance, Sangesh, in your line. See, there is, again, hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry. Sorry.
Currently, if my understanding is right, currently the major share in China market is taken up by Solvay and us.
Okay.
There is no real, very large producer of MEHQ in China who would move for this ABD kind of process, is what my understanding is. However, I explained to you that because we have also applied an anti-AVD on DCC, which was coming from China. Okay, and we have understood while we had to prove to the Indian government that the prices which Chinese offer to the Europeans and Americans is far higher than the price they offer in Indian market, which there was a difference, and that is why we were able to get anti-dumping on DCC. In similar way, I'm sure even the Chinese would have to prove that our prices in other part of the globe is far higher than what we are giving it in China.
Fair enough, sir. That explains very clearly. Thanks, Siddharth. Thanks for answering those.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you, sir. Next question from Mr. Rohit Nagraj from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So first question is in terms of HALS. So you indicated that you'll be coming up with a capacity in 2H. So once the capacity is commissioned, immediately we'll be able to start sales of the product, or we'll first have to go for validation of the product from the plant?
Of course, there is always a validation process. You make product for pharma, agro, even for master batches, there is always everybody wants to have a sample before they buy commercial lot.
Right. So effectively, our commercial sales will start from FY24. Is that right understanding?
No, we are really hoping. Basically, their FSA 770 will basically be used for master batches. Here, the lead times or validation time, because it does not go into pharma or food segment, it goes into master batches. Here we expect that the approval time would be relatively shorter compared to a pharma product. So we really anticipate that Q4 should be the first quarter when we should anticipate some sales into this 770 and 701 product.
Right, got it. So second question is in terms of exports. So 70% of our exports, how much of these are long-term in nature, particularly from the point of pricing perspective? And given that normally these are calendar year contracts, so is there any pricing clause to change the prices on a quarterly basis or so? Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. Please be connected. We'll reconnect the management team back on the call. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome back Siddharth, sir. Rohit, sir, if you could please repeat your question again.
Yes. So 70% of our sales are exports. How much of these are long-term in nature, yearly contracts, and is there any clause of, say, on a quarterly basis for pricing reset?
See, we have multiple ways how a customer books orders with us. Very rare is a year-old contract. Then comes the half-yearly, and then comes quarterly. And, of course, in India, is a monthly basis. So it's a mix of customers, how they like it. And we are really okay dealing, because if you do a yearly contract, sometimes we get the biggest portion of their business, and we are assured of a particular business for the entire year. Sometimes, for instance, the Chinese market, they don't like to book anything for more than 6 months. So they prefer to work on a quarterly basis. So we are okay with quarterly basis. So it's really kind of customer business which we are doing into. So there is multiple ways to look at it, please.
Right. So just one last clarification on the demand front. So because of the current environment in terms of logistics as well as geopolitical environment, are there any deferment of contracts or orders for us, or the simultaneously probably a benefit because someone else is having these challenges? Thank you.
That's what I mentioned. If you have a European competitor like we have, their energy costs have dramatically increased over the past few months. So that has given us an advantage where we are competing with this, with say, a European guy. So of course those work in our benefit, and of course with Make in India, say in a product like DCC, where the world was, or a PBQ, where we were dependent on China, with all these logistics issues with dollar touching almost 77-78, it has helped us with Indian consumers looking at Indian suppliers for these products, where they can book us and we can supply them within a week's time.
Right, sir. Got it. Thank you so much for all the answers and best of luck.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the last question for this conference. I would now like to hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
So thank you so much to all of you for taking time out, understanding, reading our results, and answering all these and asking us very interesting questions. I hope I'll again meet you guys next quarter with better performance and better results. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, with this, we conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dur Sabha's conference call service. You may all disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day, everyone.